Chapter 9, Another Step Closer. Whether you've been following Jesus for years, or this is your first time to hear what he has done for you, I want to invite you to take another step closer to him. If you're a follower of Jesus and looking to go deeper, skip ahead to the section on two paths. If you've never known the love and forgiveness of Jesus, never surrendered your life to him, and you want to follow him, you can begin that journey right now. Acts 16:31 shows the way. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. In this story, a prison guard asked Paul and Silas, two leaders in the ancient Christian church, how he could be saved. By saved, he meant forgiven from the guilt of sin and rescued from the death he knew he deserved as a sinful person who had broken God's laws. Paul and Silas's answer was simple: believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. The same Paul from this story also wrote this in Romans 10:9-11. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If you encountered the love of Jesus in the pages of this book, and you believe he is God's son who paid the penalty for your sin, then you can believe in him and confess him with your own mouth and be saved. You can do that right now by speaking the truth from your heart in your own words, and he will hear you. If you're not sure how to say it, here's an example. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died in my place on the cross and that you rose from the dead. Save me. Cleanse me from my sin by your perfect blood and show me how to follow you as my Lord and King. If you believe this and said it from your heart, you've been forgiven, made a part of God's family. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is good news. Mark today on your calendar as the day you were born again as a child in the kingdom of God. So, what's your next step? Just like a newborn, you're going to be hungry for the things of God, to know him, to learn his ways, and to find out about his precious promises for you found throughout the Bible. Acts 16:32 says about the prison guard, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." This means it's important for you to read and hear the word of the Lord, which you can discover by reading the Bible and listening to messages taught wherever true followers of Jesus gather and worship. The purpose of this chapter is to help you dig deeper into the story you've just read so you can go deeper in your relationship with God. At the end, I'll point you towards some additional resources that will help you to mature in your faith and relationships. But first, let's look at what I call two paths. Two paths. Over the next several pages, you'll be answering some questions to help you see the story you've just read through the lens of the truth found in the Bible. But first, I want you to think about Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The young man in our story ran from the pain in his relationship with his dad. In the very first chapter, he had to choose between the broad way or the old path. He chose the way that seemed right to him, but it brought more pain. Why am I pointing this out? There is also a way that doesn't feel right, but in the end, it leads to life. Jesus taught that his way of dealing with pain in relationships, whether a serious betrayal or a minor offense, is to confront the person with the truth in love and work humbly toward forgiveness and reconciliation. Following his way or path keeps us from growing bitter and hateful, and it gives others who hurt us the opportunity to make things right. And even if they refuse to make things right, we can still be free by following Jesus' way. But like the young man in our story, most of us would have to admit that's not the path we would choose. It just doesn't feel safe or fair. Our way versus God's way. When someone has hurt, abused, or betrayed us, our natural reaction is to reject that person. Though we may deeply want their love or approval because of pain, we detach from them in anger and then hide that pain deep in our hearts. But pain festers in secrecy just like a dirty wound that's covered up before it's cleansed. Hidden deep in our hearts, it turns into emotional infection. If we were honest, we'd say many of the painful things in our past that we've hidden away are like a deeply hidden root of bitterness. Over time, that root, the memory of what happened and the toxic emotions from it, has grown up inside of us, causing behaviors or fruits of hatred, pride, outbursts of anger, fear, anxiety, depression, and feelings of vengeance. Vengeance is the feeling that we have the right to make someone pay for what they have done, what they did to us or said to us or stole from us that was not right, and it must be made right to balance the scales of justice. However, God says in Romans 12:19, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Because we are all guilty of sin, we don't know how to handle vengeance. When we try to bring vengeance, it always backfires, hurting us and others around us. It feels justified to hate someone for what they did to us, but that bitterness and hatred only keeps us in more bondage to unforgiveness. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 6:14 and 15, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." The good news is that the main character in our story started down the wrong path, but ended up finding God's path to forgiveness, love, and freedom. You can probably think of examples from your own past that show your natural tendency is to go down the wrong path of bitterness and fear. This was my story before I discovered Jesus' way. In order to get off the path of fear and bitterness and onto God's path of love and forgiveness, we will need to experience the same love and forgiveness the young man experienced with Jesus. We will also need to see the Heavenly Father in a whole new way. How's that going to happen? I'm going to make this very practical, one step at a time. But first, let's take a closer look at our story by answering some questions. How did the young man in the story experience both brokenness and bitterness, as well as healing and forgiveness? Explain briefly what that looked like. Have you experienced bitterness or brokenness in an important relationship? Explain what happened. What were the things that helped the young man make it across the bridge in chapter 4? What did the seeds of truth in chapter 6 represent? And where do you think they came from? As you were reading chapter 7, called Seated at the Table, did you think about your own relationship with a parent, step-parent, or other caregiver growing up? If so, describe what you thought or felt. How was the gardener in chapter 7 different than the way you've always thought about Jesus? When the young man saw the gardener on the cross and his own sin being driven into the gardener's hands and feet, did you get a sense of your own sin that caused him pain? If so, explain what you felt. How did the letter from the Heavenly Father change the way you've always thought about God? A letter from the Father. Now that you've encountered a fresh perspective of who Jesus is and the kind of unconditional love the Heavenly Father has for you, it's time to make it personal. Go back and re-listen to the letter from the Father to the young man in chapter 8. Let the words of that letter touch your own heart, as if the Father is speaking just to you. Once you've listened to the letter again, come back and keep listening for more instructions. Your next step is to find a quiet place where you will not be distracted. Silence your phone or put it away. Now quiet your heart and begin to thank your Heavenly Father that He loves you and wants to speak to you. You might even want to pray something like this. Father, I believe that you love me, that you want to be with me and speak to me. The Bible says your sheep hear your voice, and I am one of your sheep, your child whom you love dearly. Give me a spirit of revelation and understanding so that I can sense your love and hear in my heart what you're saying to me. Your word also says your thoughts towards me are as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. I want to know some of your thoughts about me right now. What are you saying about my life, Father? How do you feel about me? And what are your thoughts about me? Now that you've asked the Father to speak to you, be still and listen. As soon as you have a single word, thought, or feeling, no matter how simple it might be, write it down. As you hear the Father whisper more to your heart, keep writing. The key is simply to flow with what He is showing you. Don't overthink it or worry about whether it's Him speaking or just your own thoughts. When God speaks, it feels and sounds like the fruit of His Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He will never speak to you in a way that goes against His heart, as it's written in the Bible, but it might sound like it's coming through your own thoughts. Many times that's exactly how He speaks because He lives inside of you and speaks through your own redeemed thoughts and imagination. Now, put your pen or pencil to paper and begin to write your own letter from the Father. It's important to thank God for what He has done in your life. If you saw Jesus in a new way today, if you sensed God's love, or if you heard His thoughts toward you as you wrote the letter, take a moment to tell Him how thankful you are. Tell Him how much you love Him and what He means to you. He enjoys hearing from you just as much as He enjoys speaking to you. This may seem simple, but your next step is to ask God to speak to you even more. Ask Him to give you ears to hear Him and a heart to understand what He is saying to you. If you don't have a Bible, buy one online or ask a local church for one and begin reading it. If you don't know where to start, flip to the New Testament, that's towards the second half, and read the Gospel of John. This part of the Bible is all about Jesus, who He is, and what He has done for you. Ask God to reveal Himself to you as you read. Ask for His wisdom, to know His plan for your life. Another important step is to find another follower of Jesus and read your letter from the Heavenly Father to them. Share with them more about what God is doing in your life. When you share your story with others, you grow in your faith in Jesus and they're encouraged. For more resources like Encounter with the King, go to freedomlifetoday.org. We have additional books and online courses to help you grow in freedom in Christ.